I want to welcome you to our worship service today, and we especially welcome those who might be worshiping with us for the first time. We want to invite you to participate in two mission opportunities with us. First, we are collecting new or gently used blankets for the homeless along with sleeping bags. Second, we are collecting supplies for the Morristown Hamlin Humane Society. There is a list that can be found on our website, Facebook page, and e-news. These mission items can be dropped off outside of the church Monday through Friday. The building does continue to be closed. You can drop items off outside the front door. Offerings and other documents can be placed in the black drop box on the building. And just a reminder that Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day and the office will be closed in observance. I will be leading another study on Wednesdays. This class will focus on Barbara Brown Taylor's book, Learning to Walk in the Dark. This book will help us to learn how to lean into God's love even when we are in times of uncertainty. Once again, this class will be offered over Zoom at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. Please email me at asa@fumcmorristown.org. We are so thankful that you are worshiping with us today. So now let us still our hearts and minds for worship.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me.
Yeah!
And now a statement of faith of the Korean Methodist Church. We believe in the one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the savior of the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God present with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, in the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testaments as the sufficient rule both of faith and practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, and Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Well, come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, about 3.5 years ago, when Lisa and I were preparing to move to Morristown, we looked and looked for just the right house to buy. We wanted an older house like our last two houses, but the older houses for sale in the area were either way out of our price range or they needed so much work there was no way that I could work on them by myself. And you might not be able to tell this from looking at me, but I'm not very handy. So we looked at new houses. We looked at cabins, we looked at farmhouses, we looked at a little bit of everything, and it finally got to the point we just decided we were going to have to rent something to get settled in Morristown. Well, my tenure in Johnson City was winding down, and my last official act as a district superintendent was to be on the stage at annual conference for the closing service. I was in my robe with all of my colleagues looking out at the whole annual conference, and all of a sudden, my phone started buzzing. Well, I couldn't check it while I was on the stage, so I just sat there feeling my phone vibrating over and over and over. When the service was over, I checked my phone, and I had missed about 10 calls from Lisa, and to sum up her messages, it was that she had found the house. The perfect house, and it showed up on the market that day, and several other people had appointments to look at it after her. Our realtor told us that if we didn't buy that house then, somebody else would. So Lisa was buying this house. And I like to think that I could have put the brakes on this whole transaction if I wanted, but to be perfectly honest, Lisa wasn't too worried whether I would like it or not. And I've learned from Lisa's grandmother, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So that's how I gave my blessing, to make an offer on a house before I saw it. I asked Lisa if she really thought I was going to like it, and her reply was, come and see. Well, it turned out that when I could see it, I loved it. It's been a great house for us. We have wonderful neighbors. We have been so blessed to have it. And I think the reason that I was at such peace about the house was I know Lisa, and Lisa knows me. Based on her recommendation, I was able to just go with it. And I could see the future that she had envisioned, even if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. In our Bible story for today, we hear about two of Jesus' followers. One was Philip, who our scripture lesson tells us left everything after Jesus said, "Follow me." And maybe there's more to his story than that, but our scripture lesson suggests Jesus just said, "Follow me," and Philip did. Nathanael was a bit more skeptical. When Philip told him that Jesus was from Nazareth, Nathanael asked, "Well, can anything good come from that little town?" It would be like if someone said to us, "Well, the Messiah is coming and he's from Talbot or Bean Station or Malsheim." We'd probably be a little skeptical too, because Messiahs just don't come from places like that. We probably couldn't envision a Savior coming from people like us. I'd say we would want a Savior that has a better backstory than ours. And what got Nathanael's attention was when Jesus looked at him and said, "This is someone in whom there is no deceit." In my mind, I can just see Jesus telling him, "Nathanael, you call it like you see it. You tell the truth. I've been watching you." Now to us, that doesn't seem like an earth-shattering encounter, but to Nathanael, it was almost as if Jesus could see inside his soul. It's not often we feel like someone can really see us. I know I've told this story many times, but my life changed when a professor in seminary told me that he could see that I didn't understand grace. And he had watched me for a whole year and suggested that I was trying to earn my salvation through good works, but Jesus' grace was sufficient, even for me. Now, that may not sound like much of a revelation to you, but it absolutely changed my life. That was a real spiritual battle that I was fighting at the time, and it was almost as if scales fell from my eyes. That professor helped me see something I didn't see in myself. I have another example of when someone saw me. When I was a child, I was present when a friend of mine drowned. Our youth group had been on a bicycle trip to the lake, and we all saw our friend disappear under the water. Well, the next day at school, I must have been in a daze because my teacher sent me to the principal's office. My teacher saw something about me that wasn't quite right. And while I was in his office, I don't know what happened, but all of that grief came out all at once. And I was grateful that my principal attended our church because I felt safe with him. He knew me. He saw that I needed help. My wife sees things in me that no one else sees. There are things my parents and sisters see. Friends from past and present see other things. All these relationships with special people who see things in me have enriched my life. But it has also given me a starting place to understand how God can see me. It helps me understand how God can know me. It's helped me so that I don't have to feel detached from God when things aren't going the way I'd planned. In fact, it's been my experience that I feel God more profoundly in my challenging times than when everything is going my way. In the last 10 months, I've felt closer to God than I have in a long time, and I've spent more time trying to see what He is up to and less time trying to control everything else in my world. And in my life, God has hit the pause button. How about for you? Right now in our country, in our world, it seems like we have two visions. I see the world one way, and some of you are looking at the world through a different lens. And of course, I feel that my vision is the right one. And I'm tempted to turn my back on those whose vision is 180 degrees different from mine. But look where that kind of thinking has gotten us. We have red states and blue states. We have racial relationships that are at least as strained as when I was a teenager. And there are some who want to tear everything down, and others want to start from here and build up. And sometimes it can even feel like we want to divide the church up into segments where we only worship with like-minded people. But lest we think for a moment that that's Jesus' vision, we need to remember that Jesus saw the church as His bride. Jesus poured out everything for His church. I don't remember Him ever saying, "This church is red and that church is blue." The stories where Jesus helps me see His vision are the ones where prodigals return home to open arms and bounteous feasts, where Romans and Syrophoenicians are set up as examples, not because of their backgrounds, but because of their faith. Where Ethiopian eunuchs and women of ill repute are welcomed into the kingdom. Where Jesus takes time to talk to tax collectors and people who have been filled with evil spirits. And where lepers and even blind people have all been seen. I think all of us have tried to make sense of the events last week in Washington, and a common refrain from a lot of people seems to be that no one sees them, no one sees us. And I think that's the same language that our friends of color have been using for generations. We all feel unseen at different points in our lives. Refusing to see seems to be part of the human condition. Jesus' call to Nathanael was, "Come and see." What Nathanael ended up seeing was the entryway to heaven. Nathanael got a vision of what life could be. And I'm an heir of that vision. Today, as a Christian, I have also been given a vision of the kingdom because of Jesus. We are the ones who have seen how it feels to be forgiven of our sins. We've seen what a difference it makes when we are able to put aside our anger and our revenge and our hatred. We see because we remember how it feels to be rejected and then accepted. Jesus told Nathanael, "One day you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the very Son of Man." I feel like as a church, we don't have the luxury of folding up our tents and going away. We have to go back out there and tell people that we as Christian people have hope. We have to tell people that we have a vision of how we can get out of this mess. And for the rest of our journey on this earth, it is going to be our job to show people the way. And we do it because we have seen glimpses of the Messiah. Our invitation to the world is, come and see.
We do have a number of prayer concerns that we want to share with you today. We just received word that Ron Strope is in the hospital. Please continue to pray for Ronnie Malloy as she's recovering from surgery. Bev and Tom Moon are continuing to recover from COVID, along with Denise Saluto, and Lindy and Blaine Potter are also currently recovering from COVID. And Steve Baxley is very sick in the hospital with COVID at Tenova Turkey Creek. Lisa Weichel's father, Bill Coulthard, passed away last Sunday, and the family celebrated his life this last week. Otto Perkey, brother to David Perkey, passed away Wednesday, and his service of resurrection was Saturday, January 16th. And Robert Bob Moore, Allison Horner's brother, passed away on Monday, and his service of resurrection is Sunday, January 17th. And we do celebrate with a newer family to our congregation, Rose and Jake Andrist, in the birth of Ireland May Andrist, and her proud big brothers are William and Lucas. So now let us go to God in prayer. Eternal God, you are the maker of us all, and we are your creation, people formed in your image as individuals and as community, formed and fed and equipped with understanding of who you are and of whose we are. We worship you today in recognition of your calling, of your communicating, of your caring to invite us to share in your creative and healing work. We are here because we have heard you speak in us and through others. Help us, dear Lord, to ever respond to you and to your invitation to your grace. God of all our moments, of our days and our nights, you speak and you act in the world around us, not only to call all people to you, but also to direct and guide us in the way of healing and wholeness. So awaken us, O Lord, to hear what you would say to us. Help us to be open, to open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to your presence. Help us to know when it is your voice that we are hearing, and when it is our own wants and desires to which we are paying heed. Lord, we pray that your church may rise up with renewed commitment in answer to your call, that your people may be instruments of your grace and love. We pray for those who consider themselves inadequate and dismiss or avoid your calling in their lives. Give them a new vision, a vision in which you are their strength and their hope. We pray for those who, in answering your call, must leave the known for the unknown, the oasis for the desert, the comfortable for the uncertain. But grant them courage and steadfast faith. We pray too today, O Lord, for those who are in want and need, and for those of us in the larger community who suffer in body or in mind or in spirit. And we especially remember those that we have named before you this morning and those who are in our hearts. O loving God, bless us all with an abundant faith, a fruitful ministry, and a joyful life. Bless us and all those who continue the work of Jesus, the one who came to heal, save, and deliver us all, the one in whose name we pray this day. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, our invitation from Jesus today was to come and see. But we are also charged in the very end of the book of Matthew to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. So God bless you as you proclaim this good news that Jesus Christ is risen. Amen.